Blog Talk Radio.
How many of you know better today that is all good? Because it's all God. It's all good. And it's all God. Even though it doesn't look like or look right to you, but it's all good. See, God has a way to taking what looked bad and turn it into something that you never thought it can ever be. Sometimes, right, we have to get out of our natural mind and get in the spiritual realm with God to understand that what's looked bad is all good. Good God Almighty. See, because if it didn't happen to you this way, or if it didn't come to you this way, you will know how to accept it. If it was just everyday usual, you will go about your own way. But now that you have a stumbling block in the midst of your travel today, and things are not working out the way that you thought they should work out, I tell you today, if you get out yourself, give it to God, and just take a step back, good God Almighty, then you'll see what David's seen. Good God Almighty. You will see the land that they're living. Oh, good God. You will see God at work, because some things have to be exposed, and some of the things that you do in your life have to come to fruition. Oh, I wish I had somebody to mind by having some church with me today. But it's all good. Yeah, I do know better. It's all God. Ah, hallelujah here. We're in the book of Leviticus. We've been dealing with the 21st and the 22nd chapter. We've been dealing with how the scribes and the Pharisee interpret holiness wrong. And not only did the scribes and the Pharisee interpret it wrong, we look at the interpretation that we use today. And some of us had our own interpretation of holiness. But the Bible clearly lays out holiness with our interpretation. All we have to do is follow the script. Good God Almighty. There's many interpretations out there about holiness, but if you go back to the book of Leviticus, and we're in conclusion of this series that we are in. So when you go back and look at Leviticus 21 and 22, you will see that not only the priests had to get themselves holy and right, but everything and everybody has to live holy. Not only did the priest can tell the people, children of God, about holiness, but their life themselves had to be the same way. That's many of us that preach and teach the gospel. We preach it with so much authority. We preach it so profound at times. But I come by today and ask you, are you living what you're teaching? Good God Almighty. Oh, I'm not going to, that's a whole nother, that's a whole nother lesson right there. Are you living what you're teaching? See, because holiness is not just a lifestyle. It's God's character. Many people say, oh, that ain't nothing. You don't have to be there. That ain't coming one time. I bet the difference. If you are a student of the word, and if you're living by the word of God, you have to live it in its entirety. God said, be ye holy, because I'm holy, come from among those who are holy. Not only is it a lifestyle, it's his character, holiness and righteousness. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and then I will add those things to you. Oh, how we twist and toss the word at times to make it for our own likeness. That comes from the scribes and the Pharisees. We're not doing nothing new. The book of Ecclesiastes speaks that. Ain't nothing new up under the sun. Good God Almighty. Hey, hallelujah up in here. And since we're there, we're dealing with a parable that Jesus used to describe the Pharisees and the scribes at this time, because they was into self-righteousness. You know, a lot of times that we get into ourselves, we in self-righteousness, right? And self-righteousness acquire us to have too much pride in ourselves. And when we have pride, it causes us to error even more. And I'm going to share this with you as well, but I know one thing I need to do. First of all, let's go to the throne of grace, because this lesson is a good lesson, and it's a very detailed lesson, and get your pens and paper out, and let's go in into the throne of grace, and then we'll go right into the lesson. Oh, it's all good. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do know better. And it's always about you, God. Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, the many petition, the many prayer requests that have come through this ministry, Father, the many things, the many doors that you have opened up through ministry, Father, not only for this ministry, but for other ministries, for all of my brothers and sisters throughout this world, Father. Right now, Father, I ask you right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, from the depth of my soul, Father, breathe a fresh anointing on us, Father. Give us the strength, Father, and the courage to continue to go forward and bear your cross, Father. Bear the cross that we have to carry. Father, in the name of Jesus, allow us, Father, to speak only what you have given us, Father. Allow us to decrease and you increase, Father. Thank you for bringing us out of miry clay, out of pits of hell, Father, and establishing us firmly on the rock that you built your church on. But, Father, right now, there are many that are under attack. There are many, Father, that are going through, Father. There are many that have been in and they're fainting. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to breathe down now and encourage them up, God. Oh, God, that's many that have sent in requests, Father. That body is up under the attack, Father. That's going through. Many are suffering loss. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want you to just send your peace anointing on them right now, Father. Encourage them right now, Father. Strengthen their body and their mind right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Have your way in this place, Holy Ghost. Oh, God, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, move like you never moved before, Father. What it looked like, nothing, Father. Turn it into something, Father. See, most of the time, Father, that we get caught up in ourselves, Father. But right now, Father, we on our bending knees and our open minds and open heart and asking you, Father, to blot out all our iniquity and transgression, anything that don't belong to us, Father. Have your way right now, God. Oh, God, have your way in this place. Oh, God, move like you never moved before. Oh, in the name of Jesus, do it, God. Strengthen, Father, every man and woman of God, child of God, right now, Father. Strengthen those, Father, that we go in front of, we reside up in the ministry, Father. Oh, Father, strengthen leadership throughout this world. Oh, God, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, have your way, Holy Ghost. Have your way. Oh, God, do it right now. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, this is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Zion will rejoice today. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know. This is different anointing. Oh, God. I know better. It's all good. It's all God. Jesus. Let me get to this lesson. Ooh, Jesus. I just feel something here. In the book of Matthew, right? Matthew 5 and 2, right? And then Matthew 7 and 15, right? Jesus, right? He spoke a parable of condemnation to those who trust in themselves, right? That they were righteous, right? So the scribes and the Pharisees were wrong on what? On two accounts. When you study, and when you go in and study and you understand the scribes and the Pharisees, right, you understand their way of life, their thinking, right, and who they were, right, they wanted to carry out the law. They wanted to do these things. They wanted you to abide by the law, but they was living different themselves. I know you know some people like that today. So they was wrong on two accounts. First, they was wrong thinking that they was righteous, right? Second, they was wrong in abiding what? Righteousness to their own effort. It is the self-righteous that lead us to pride. And I talked about this. Even in our prayer, I talked about it. The self-righteous lead us astray every time. Any time that we pat our tune our own horn, thinking we have arrived, thinking we have gotten the right without doing the vital research and allowing God to lead us. See, the book tells us, Proverbs tells us this real simple. It says, in all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct our paths, right? In other words, how we going to continue to walk in good faith, in good life with God, if we don't allow ourselves to go to him so that he can continue to screen us up? If we're trying to toot our own horn, we're not acknowledging God. We're trying to take all the credit. We're trying to make it like it's all about us and not about God. So this self-righteousness led them to pride. And the scribe and the Pharisee had a double portion of both of that. Good God Almighty. They had this, right? when we look at our lesson as we finish our externalism and legalism in this particular series, we find out now, right, that one might conclude, as the scribe and the Pharisee did, that if one was able to avoid defilement defined in the book of Leviticus 21 and 22, that he would be holy. When you come to this here, when you get a chance, go and read Leviticus 21 and 22. And if one thought the way the scribes and the Pharisees did, they come to this false conclusion. One would be able to reason as what the scribes and the Pharisees did, that it was his works that made him righteous. In other words, his own works that they was doing, they thought that what made them righteous. They thought not doing certain things. They can understand Jesus and the disciples eating with sinners, Jesus laying hands on the leper. They would have never done this. They said that was right. That was not holiness. That was not clean. That was not right. They would have never went to you. Jesus come and show them what a misinterpretation of the law that they were required out of Leviticus 21 and 22. He said that if you wouldn't have stopped there and went further, you would have seen where you need to be. Sometimes we get in, we talked about this in our previous lesson, we get a nugget and we run with it, we get a word. That's a lot of one-liners out here today. A lot of people shoot one-liners out today, and we try to live off the one-liner. But what happened is you have to go further than a one-liner. I have no problem with nobody giving you a one-liner or giving you a word. I have no problem with that. But you have to go beyond the word to understand what's going on. Good God Almighty. See, one-liners are not a problem. But if you don't go beyond the one-liner, you start with the one-liner. This is why a lot of people come out of ministries, big, large, or small, does not matter, of one-liners, of what we call microwave service, inspired message, and they try to take the inspired message and live from them. But you have to go beyond the message. See, that interpretation that you're going to get out of that message, you need to go beyond. You need to go in depth of it so you can understand what is going on. You can try to apply the one-liner or the inspired message to your life, but it always lacks substance. And since it lacks substance, then that is why you stuck right in that place. So now your interpretation of what you got, or the word that you got, it only allows you to go so far. So when someone come and break it down and take you beyond where you are, you say you're too deep. Who am I talking to the end of the day? You're talking over my head. Why are you trying to sound so deep? No, I want you to get from this place where you are and go beyond, because you have stopped right in one place when you have to go even further. Oh, my goodness, help me, Holy Ghost, up in here. The Lord told Ezekiel, let me show you something here. I'm going to get back to that. Hold that thought. I'm going to come back to Ezekiel. The Lord told Elijah, right? Listen to this. He said, Elijah, why are you here? The journey is far. Elijah got caught up in Seth. After God had done everything for Elijah, Elijah started now leaning to his own understanding. And when he didn't see God's hand move in his work, he got fearful and doubtful. I'm talking to somebody now. I'm talking to a man or woman of God, children of God right now, that's having doubt and fearful in ministry right now in their walk with God. I'm talking to you today because you have to go beyond the point. He told the man of God, the journey is far. Why are you here? He told him, I was always never leave you or forsake you. But any time the trials come on us, we think that God's hand is not there. We think God has left us. So we think we are fighting alone. But like the songster said, but I know better. It's all good. It's all God. The reason why it's all good and all God, because God told you that he will never leave you or forsake you. So what are you getting at, brother preacher? What I'm trying to tell you that you don't need self-righteousness. See, self-righteousness messes us up every time. And see, self-righteousness plays a big part in our life. Because once we got to a point, we think it's all about us. Let me just finish. You all don't want to talk to me here today. So, the scribes and the Pharisees, they was caught up in this. By what made them righteousness. It is this attitude which our Lord has characterized to them. Look how he break it down to them. He talks about it. He say, and he told the parable of certain ones who trust in themselves that they were righteous and view others with contempt, right? He said, listen to this here. You got to get this here. We went over this in the earlier in the lesson, but it's come back to us at a point in time now, down to the end. And nothing like this here. He said, two men went into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like the other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes. You know some people like this here. I'm talking to some people like this now. See, you all got to understand the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all of them still is in the church today. Y'all, they're different colors. Oh, good God Almighty. You still act like the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. You got to understand this thing. If you go beyond your training, beyond the nugget, beyond the one-liner, and go in depth and study to get what God is really trying to tell you, then you understand the characteristics that you're carrying, you can't carry no more. Some gotta give. Good God Almighty. Let me hurry up. I gotta get somewhere. I gotta hurry up and get down there. He said, I pay tithes of all that I get. This was what? Luke 18:9-11. Right? A lot of emphasis. I put some emphasis on there, right? Jesus told the parable, and some was confident, right, that they were righteous and looked down on everyone else. The two men went up into the temple to pray, one of the Pharisees and the other a tax collector, right? So the Pharisee stood and prayed about himself like this, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, extraordinary, unrighteous people, adultery, right? I'm going to read the verse so you can get it. And even like this tax collector, right, look what he did. He put everything to himself. He prayed a selfish prayer. That's what he did. Now, where did they justify their conclusion on the basis of Leviticus 21:22? Can anyone tell me this? I'm here tonight. I'm here today, and I'm going over this here. How can they justify this? How can they, on the basis of 21 and 22? That's why it's important that you read, and it's going to be a little confusion. It's going to be a little complex, but you have to continue to read and let God just meditate to your heart. Leviticus 21 and 22, so you can get to understand the holiness, right? But my point is, how could they justify themselves? I think in that, since avoiding defilement and their own work that made them holy, how can they? Thus, their righteousness was a result of their obedience to these commands in Leviticus. You got to understand this. So I asked the question in our previous lesson. And I ask it again. How did they go wrong here? How did they? What did God intend to teach the priests by giving them the commandment pertaining to the outward corruption and defilement in chapter 21 and 22 of Leviticus? You got to hear this here. This is very important that we go and read so we can get the real definition, so we can get the interpretation we need about holiness. I think if we get this and lock into this here, a whole lot of our lives will change. This is very important. Leviticus 21 and 22. It's very important that we understand about holiness. Big mama can't teach you. Grandmama can't, grandfather can't teach you. Pastor can't teach you. Bishop can't teach you. None of what you have to do is go and get the interpretation. So when you come back to it, you can go to them and get an in-depth study of what the word really means. If they don't know, you're all going to go into another level. It ain't no big I, no big me, no big myself. It's about learn iron sharpen iron here. See, now is the time to know the phrase, which is the key to the entire passage. I want you to understand this here. Note this now. Both structural and interpretable. I am the Lord who sanctify you. Oh, Jesus. That a priest right there. I am the Lord who sanctify you. Who is that that sanctified a priest to make them holy? God said this six times that he did. He set Israel apart from nations. He set Israel apart from nations. He set Israel apart from nations. Why did he set Israel apart from nations? Because he told them, be ye holy. Come from among those in the holy. I'm holy. He wanted Israel to develop the same character. Not just a lifestyle, but a character, his character. Holiness and righteousness. He wanted a holy nation and a holy people to live holy and righteousness. Good God Almighty. Man, this is a teacher. This is a whole nother lesson here. So he set them apart from the people. The Israelites did not sanctify themselves by leaving Egypt. God released them while they at best stood by passive at a worse drug-free defeat, rebellion and complaining. They dropped their feet. They had issues. I'm talking to some people today. This ain't now. I'm trying to get you to understand now. Ministry now. I'm trying to get you to understand those of you are in ministry, those of you have people, they are dragging their feet. They will do nothing but be rebellious and complain. They are just like the Israelites then because they have not accepted who God is. It ain't nothing you can do until you learn what is holy and righteousness. See, because if you cannot live holy and righteous, you don't know how to sanctify yourself and get yourself away from among the people. Men and women of God, you just can't do what everybody else do. I'm sorry. You have to live a holy and righteous life. I don't care what they say. I don't care, well, I'm not perfect. Well, that's an excuse to me at times. I make mistakes. I'm going to be the first one to tell you. So some of the mistakes I make and have made, I should have never made them. Because I ain't have to do it. I did it anyway. But if I pay attention to what God say, I wouldn't have to go through that. I can live holy and righteousness. Oh, good God Almighty. All he wanted us to do was live holy and righteous. Lean not to our own understanding and all our ways and knowledge to him. Allow him to direct our path. This is what God wants us to do. Good God Almighty. Ooh, Jesus. He said they did not sanctify themselves. They don't do number of rebellion. They drug their feet and they complain. See, God commands the priest to avoid an outward defilement, you know, the outward defilement, because they were already holy by God's sanctification. In other words, when God has accepted you and brought you in and has sanctified you, now your job is to keep deal with the outer appearance. You have to deal with your natural man. See, if you deal with your natural man and work with him, work on him, and don't allow him to take you into places where you don't supposed to be, and work with him, then your outer appearance and your inner appearance will be on the same course. Who am I talking to here? Good God Almighty. He said he was already holy by God's sanctification. They were to avoid the things that prohibit, because these things will make them unclean. See, if God has already sanctified you, why are you still going and dwell in unclean places? Why are you going in things that are not of God? You cannot go there and still be holy. God has already sanctified you. Sooner or later, you're going to become what you've been entertaining. Good God, man. Ooh, Jesus here. Wow. Have mercy, Holy Ghost. Let me hurry up then. You all don't want to have no church. I'm going to finish this. If I had to pray and shout by myself, hallelujah here. There is a world of difference between avoiding something to keep yourself from defilement and avoiding something to make yourself holy. Did you all hear me here today? Did you all hear this here? There is a world of difference between avoiding something to keep yourself from defilement and avoiding something to make yourself holy. Let me show you something. Here's the key to this era that the scribes and the Pharisees had. Let's deal with this. I'm trying to get someone saved. I'm trying to help somebody else. That's where I'm at today. Let me look at this here. When I look at the era of the scribes and the Pharisees, they was confused. When I say that, cause with the effect, the cause is holiness and sanctification, which God has already accomplished, which is primarily the inner is a matter of the heart. The effect is what? The separation of the priest from that which defines, so as not to what? Contaminate, and define that which God has sanctified. This explains why the Lord persisted in his earthly teaching to what? Carefully distinguish between the cause and the effect. You all hear me? Did you hear me? You got to catch this now. Jesus did a whole lot of teaching, and his teaching was based on the distinguish between the cause and the effect. Y'all got to get this here. I'm trying to get somebody delivered and set free. I'm here to preach liberty. I'm here to set some people free. Let me show you something here. There is a big difference between the cause and the effect. See, salvation makes men clean. Is our Lord walk alone? Man can't do this here. The Lord has to do this here, and he does it with salvation. Alone. Keeping ourselves pure is our own duty. Y'all hear me here? Keeping ourselves pure is our own duty, enabled by the Holy Spirit. So anytime somebody tell you that you don't need the Holy Ghost, you need to run for them. Because the Holy Ghost enables you to keep yourself pure, because it's your duty to do that. And you can't do it by yourself. You need the Holy Ghost to help you. So that we do not define what God has already cleaned. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. Good God Almighty. Ooh. We seek to stay That's the effect, right? Listen to this. Write this down. We seek to stay clean. That's the effect, because God had made us clean. That's the cause. You hear? We shall seek to stay clean. That's the effect, right? Because God had made us clean. That's the cause. Okay, God Almighty. The priest, right, should avoid defilement. That's the effect, right? Because God has already set them apart. That's the cause. Oh, good God Almighty. Somebody shout glory around me here today. Oh, good God Almighty. Oh, Jesus. See, that this is no new revelation. This is no nothing new. If you go back and go beyond your studies and stop getting caught up on one-liners and nuggets and go beyond that, you can understand exactly what God meant for his people. See, this is something never made known in the Old Testament. It was never made known in the Old Testament, what we just got to talk about. It is precise that which was taught by the prophet Haggai. There's no new revelation now. There's no nothing new now. But it was taught by the prophet. Hey, God, I'm trying to give you something. See, let me show you something. Turn to the second chapter of Haggai, verse 10 through 13. On the 24th and the 9th month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet, saying, "Thus say the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest for a ruling. If a man carry holy meat in the fold of his garment and touch bread with his fold, or cook wine, or cook food rather, wine or any other food, will it become holy?" And the priest answered and said, "No." Then Haggai said, "If one who is unclean from a corpse touch any of these, will the latter become unclean?" And the priest answered and said, "It will become unclean." Listen to this now. The point which is made here is that holiness is not contagious. Good God Almighty. Somebody shout glory around me here. I got to make this point here. I'm about to get out of here. The point is that holiness is not contagious. It cannot be transmitted by contact with holy things. Defilement, however, is contagious. It can be transmitted by contact with what is unholy. You see the difference? So the scribes and the Pharisees seem to think that they caught holiness by their official duties. Some of us rock around here in church right now. Excuse me. Some of us in church right now, just because we pay tithes and offerings, just because we sing, just because we on the worship boat, just because we in that pulpit preach, we think we're holy. Because the duties. Which put them in contact with holy things. Defilement can be caught. And does God warn the priest about coming into contact with unholy things? I want you to understand something here, sanctified people. Holiness, however, only comes from God. Yes, you can get it. I hear preachers talking about, no, you don't need to be. The reason why they said it, because they have not received it. They don't have a right connection with God. If you have a right connection with God and you're in position with God, you have communion with God, you will become holy. Because you cannot serve a holy God and not be holy. If you come in the presence of God, you're going to either flee or you're going to be convicted. And if you're convicted, you're going to become holy. God of mine. Somebody shout glory around me. You cannot be that way. The devil is a lie that tells you you holy just because you're doing an office. No, your relationship with God has to be right. You have to be in communion with God. God wants to teach the priests in Leviticus 21 and 22. He wants them to know that he is the one who make men holy, who set them apart. It was not that the sons of Aaron were better or more worldly than the other Israelites, or that they tried harder. It was simply that God's servant chose to set them apart from the other to perform a special task. That's what it was. And secondly, when you look at this, he wanted them to know that in order to perform their task, they had to remain undefiled. And thus they had to avoid those defilements which others may have been free to contact. God did not have a high standard. God did have a high standard for his priests because they had a scare task that are making offering for people because they had to have the high privilege. And with it came a high responsibility. Now, where did the scribes and the Pharisees go wrong? I think they are in several critical errors. First and foremost, the scribes and Pharisees did not handle the interpretation and apply the scripture properly, like a lot of us do today. They did not carry them far enough to understand what God, the true intent of what God was dealing with when he was dealing with holiness in Leviticus 21 and 22. If they did so, then we would have a better understanding today, because a lot of our teaching and a lot of our understanding, a lot of interpretation that we have gotten has come from the scribes and the Pharisees, that which has gotten God's people off track today. So they didn't carry it far enough. They stopped at appealing. They did not press on to intend the meaning and the practice of it. They interpreted the scriptures in terms of what they wanted to believe and in the terms of the way they wish to live. I know y'all know who I'm talking about. Y'all know some people like that. So they did not conform their life to the word of God, but conform the word of God to their life. They turned their scared text into plain text. They interpreted scriptures in such a way as always fulfilling them to live by their demand rather than to be persistent reminder that their own sinful and their life needed what? A sacrifice. Rather than seeing holiness as God's work, they saw it as man's work, and they became what? Proud and independent rather than humble and dependent on God. They did not feel that they needed, nor did they seek mercy, but they felt that they deserved God's blessing. That's like a lot of us today. Anyhow, rather they viewed a position as a privilege. They saw it as a right. I know y'all know some men and women of God today like this here. This is the teaching. This is where it comes from. Rather than seeing their ministry as a service, they saw it as a right to have that status. Oh, good God. So these errors they made, and I'm closing, are not confined to ancient Israel or to the first century. They are just as prevalent and popular in our church and world today. You all may not like me, but God sent me here to warn you and tell you the truth. You are just like the scribes and the Pharisees, and you are not inclined to take the scriptures as far as God intended us to. We wish to stop at a point of study them for information purpose only and formality.